1 Peter chapter 2. We're just going to read three verses, the same three verses we read last week, because it's one sentence. But last week we sort of focused on verse 1 and had a good bit to say about verse 3. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've already enjoyed, and thank you for being so merciful and so good to us, so gracious, as Peter says. Thank you, God, for what we've been able to enjoy this morning in the Sunday school hour, in the time of congregational singing, the privilege of giving, and just listening to that music. It's a blessing, and we thank you for it. Would you please now, God, I pray, take this unworthy vessel and allow the Holy Ghost to do through me what I can't do. Give your people, Lord, ears to hear. May they receive what you have for them today. And I pray you'd be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I entitled last week's message, Five Deadly Sins. The Bible says there are some things you need to lay aside. What are they? Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. That was last Sunday. A few weeks ago, from chapter 1, verse 23 to 25, I talked a little bit about a sacred book. That was only an excerpt from the message. It wasn't the entire message. But we did talk about that sacred book. Today, I'm going to focus on verse 2, on purpose. Believe that it is the will of God that I dwell on. Spent a lot of time this morning talking about the Word of God. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now let me say this before we get started. As newborn babes is an interesting phrase. When Paul called them babes in 1 Corinthians 3, he was being critical. He said, "You're acting like a bunch of babies." He said, "I can't even feed you properly because you won't take it. You're a bunch of babies." That's not what Peter is doing here. Peter's talking about the fact that at the end of chapter 1, he mentions they're being born again. They really are newborn babes in Christ. And so he refers to them as newborn babes. It's not a bad thing here in this passage. He's talking to new Christians. You know, Jesus said you need to come to Him as a little child. Remember that? He said, you got to come as a child or you can't even enter. So we're supposed to come to Him, remember the word, as a little child. We talk about childlike faith. Well, they've got a lot of faith, don't they? They just believe. I remember my sister one time trying to get an old Ford LTD. Anybody remember those? And she was trying to get it started, and it wouldn't start, and it wouldn't start, and it wouldn't start. Well, she was getting frustrated, and she said, "Oh, Lord," and it wouldn't start. And then she said, her little girl said, "God, would you please start Mama's car?" Next time, it started right up. What do you think about that? Y'all believe that? I believe that little girl's got more faith than Mama had. Children have a childlike faith. We need that kind of faith. Childlike innocence. You sort of appreciate their innocence. A childlike honesty. Oh, boy, they'll be too honest, won't they? "Hey, Daddy, look, she's fat." They're just honest. Don't ask them. If you don't want the truth, don't ask a child. Be careful, by the way, what you say in front of your children. They'll repeat it to the pastor. Sometimes they're 14, 15, still repeating it. Yeah, that's the reason I know so much about your house. I don't even ask. Everybody okay? Well, I'm getting nervous now. I'm just saying there's a childlike faith, a childlike innocence, a childlike honesty. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14? He said, "Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children." In other words, he said, you don't need to be children in understanding. Children are gullible. You don't need to be gullible. Children can be naive. You don't need to be naive. He said, in understanding, don't be like children. He said, in malice, when it comes to forgiving each other, when it comes to moving on, and you know, adults will say, "I'm going to take my ball and go home." Kids want to keep playing. Are y'all listening to me? He said, when it comes to malice, be like children. You know, I've never heard a five-year-old say to another five-year-old, "3 years ago, you said something to me." Huh? When it comes to malice, the Bible says we're to be like children. There are some really wonderful childlike qualities that the people of God ought to have. But there's a difference between being childlike and childish. Adults can be childlike, but we ought not to be childish. We just shouldn't be. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what Paul said in Ephesians 4? He said in verse 14 that we be no more children. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we be no more children, but he said in verse 15 that we would grow up. I'll never forget Tom Cochran preaching a sermon here, Cornerstone Baptist Church, years ago. The title of it was, Grow Up! You know what Paul is alluding to in Ephesians 4? That preaching was designed to grow you up. He said, that's why God gave you pastors and teachers, that you would be no more children and that you would grow up. Isn't it a terrible sight when you see an adult acting like a baby? It really is. I'll just leave that comment to your imagination. An adult acting like a baby. You can get a lot of pictures in your mind's eye, can't you? Now, as we said, there's some good childlike qualities. And one of them is children want to grow. They want to grow up. They want to mature. So Peter says, as newborn babes, what's the next word? Desire. How do you need to be like children? How do you need to be like babies? You ought to have a desire to grow spiritually. You ought to have a desire to mature. So he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Bible is likened to food in several places. It's likened to milk in the Bible. The Word of God is likened to milk. It's likened to honey. It's likened unto water. It is likened unto meat. It is likened unto bread. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 4, that you and I are to be nourished up in the words of faith. You know what you need? You need spiritual food. You need the Word of God. As a matter of fact, a lot of Christians are malnourished. They don't get the Word of God. By the way, if the only preaching you get is 1 hour on Sunday morning a week, you're malnourished. You're not getting a good dose of spiritual food. And the Bible, listen, you can say, I can read my Bible at home. 9 out of 10 times when the Bible talks about you receiving the Word of God, it's talking about the preached Word of God. It's talking about the audible, verbal, spoken, preached Word of God. I'm sorry, but God designed it that way. You need preaching. I need preaching. Man, I preached a whole sermon on you need preaching one time. And Brother Heath came in that evening and he had he said his kids were lined up in chairs. And I think it was the youngest one. It wasn't Joshua, it was one of them other little kids. And he said that little boy was looking at his brothers and said, you don't need toys. You don't need games. You need preaching. Said he wouldn't, but about 4 years old. I like that. Hey, I think your kids ought to play church instead of cops and robbers. Why not? Amen. That's a whole lot better than playing, you know, the Long Ranger or something like that. I don't know what they play nowadays. I'm saying to you, the Bible says that the Word of God is what we need for nourishment and maturity. Here's what Jeremiah said in chapter 15 of his book, Thy words were found and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Job said in chapter 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, that book, that word of God is more important to me than my necessary food. What if you and I compared today our interest in mealtime versus our interest in Bible reading? What if we compared our time spent eating versus time spent reading the Bible? We'll drive an hour to go to a restaurant and eat in 15 minutes. You'll drive an hour to get to the restaurant of your choice and pay, $25, $30 a person to get a steak. But we'll drive an hour and we'll finally get it. They'll make us wait 30 minutes. The line's long. You get in there, takes you 30 minutes to get your food, and in 15 minutes it's gone. I wonder how many 15 minutes you've had with the Word of God in the last few weeks. Job said, I've esteemed His Word more than my necessary food. Why get you more excited, eating out or going to hear some preaching? Listen, this is biblical. I'm not just trying to be mean. I'm telling you, we need the Word of God. Peter says we need to desire the Word of God so that we might grow thereby. Let me tell you this. You can cultivate in your children a love for preaching. You can cultivate in your children a love for the Word of God. They can long to hear the visiting preacher come in and the missionary come in and Brother Jim preaching tonight and Brother Holman preaching Wednesday night and Brother Josh taking some time to give a testimony from the Word of God. I'm telling you, you can cultivate a love for that just as much as you can cultivate a love for sports. What are you cultivating? Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. Job basically esteemed it more important than breakfast. Did he not? That's pretty important. Psalm 138:2 says this, God has magnified His Word above His name. God has magnified His Word above His name. Church, individuals, how do you esteem this book? How do you esteem the Word of God? Listen, by your actions, by the time that you spend, by your passion or your interest, what value do you place on the Word of God? Whether it's written or spoken. How much do you esteem the Bible? How much do you esteem preaching? Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. God says, I'll reject thee. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge because they rejected knowledge. God said He would reject them. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, the day's coming that they will, listen, they will turn their ears, not their eyes. They will turn their ears from the truth. We used to have a verse right there. That's a good verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. That's true, isn't it? But you know what used to be up there? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Did you know if you love this book, if I say something from this pulpit that contradicts your lifestyle, but I'm in the book, you'll be okay with it. But if you love your opinion and your grandpa's opinion more than you love the truth, you'll get offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, because the Bible and the truth of the Word of God trumps everything else. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Listen, I'm talking to a Bible-believing church. I'm talking about a church that believes the Word of God is the infallible, inerrant, preserved, perfect, inspired, etc. Word of God. I know who I'm talking to. But it's one thing to believe it, it's another thing to receive it. When you read through the book of Acts, we'll get to Acts 19 in just a minute, but when you read through the book of Acts, over and over and over again, there's references to the Word of God. I think over 40. And when you're reading through the book of Acts and it's talking about the Word of God, it says several times they received the Word of God. They received it in chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 11, and chapter 17. They heard it in several other chapters. They heard the Word of God. They preached the Word of God. They spoke the Word of God. It says the Word of God increased. It says the Word of God multiplied. And then in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, here's what it says. Acts chapter 19, verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. In other words, they got under conviction about some of the stuff they had, and they got rid of it and burned it. And the Bible says in verse 20, so mightily grew the Word of God. And I want you to get this. So mightily grew the Word of God in what? Prevailed. Huh. What does the Word of God prevail over in your life? There's something you want to do, but the Word of God says you ought not to. Which one prevails? There's something you want to watch, but the Word of God says you ought not to. Which one prevails? There's something you want to read, but the Word of God says you ought not to. Which one prevails? There's some friends you want to hang around, but the Word of God says that'd be a bad decision. Which one prevails? What does the Word of God prevail over in your life? Don't forget, our message is from 1 Peter 2. Desiring the sincere milk of the Word so you will grow. American Christians are malnourished spiritually. Their growth is stunted because they don't get preaching And when they do get it, they don't receive it. Listen, when I got saved, I was 18. I'd grown up in the Church of Christ, Church of God, Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian churches. That's the ones I'd visited from the time I was about 7 or 8 until 18. And I just visited those churches. I was very confused. Can you imagine that? And one church told me you had to get baptized, and one told me you didn't. One said you could have music, and one said you couldn't. One said you sprinkle, one said you immerse. One said eternal security, one said you could lose it. Amen. And all these things confused me. Then I got saved. Because I read in Matthew 11:28 where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, let me tell you something. Don't listen to the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, or Church of God. Listen to what God said. And Jesus said, "Come unto me." He didn't say, "Come to the church." He didn't say, "Come to the baptistry." He didn't say, "Come to Mary." He didn't say, "Come to the Catholics." He didn't say, "Come to the Baptists." He said, "Come to me." Jesus died on a cross for you, and Jesus alone can save you. And if you'll receive Jesus Christ, you can get new life, be born again. Amen? Amen. Just let the Word of God prevail over what the Baptist, Methodist, and everybody else says. Let the Word of God prevail. Well, then I got saved, and I'd heard all that stuff about eternal security and baptism and speaking in tongues and all those things that were confusing me as I was visiting churches, and I went off to college. And I'd go to... First I went to my pastor, and I said, "Now, you told me that baptism," and I'd show him a verse, and I'd say, "That's not what you told me." And he'd say, "Well, that's not what it means." And he'd change the Bible. And then I'd go to him and say, "Now, there in Hebrews, you told me that I couldn't, and that book says..." And then he'd change the Bible. Then I went off to college, and I'd go up to a professor at college, a Bible professor, been teaching Old Testament, New Testament, Greek, Hebrew for years, and say, "Listen, I'm struggling with this. I don't know what to believe about this." And he'd change the Bible. You know what people do? They change the Bible to fit their doctrine. And that had me in misery for about 7 years until finally, somewhere around 1984, 1985, I accepted that Bible was my final authority. And it doesn't matter what the professor says, it doesn't matter what grandpa says, that book, listen, prevails. It prevails over my opinion, it prevails over my preferences, it prevails over my convenience, it prevails over my comfort. The book has to prevail if I'm going to have any peace, if you will. And so don't forget, we're talking about how you can grow without being stunted and malnourished. How do you esteem the Bible? Right now, examine your heart. How important is the Word of God compared to tradition? You still want to celebrate Halloween? When the Bible's clearly against it? What prevails? Your tradition? The way you were raised? Everybody ought to be amening me right now. Does the Word of God prevail when it comes to your tradition? How about when it comes to denomination?
Well, now, preacher, the Baptists have always believed. Doesn't matter what the Baptists have always believed. The question is, what does God say?
What saith the Word of God? Maybe your personal experience trumps the Bible. It was years ago I witnessed to a lady trying to talk to her about doctrine. She was going to this church, and they were a very emotionally charged church. Be careful about emotionally charged churches. I like emotions. Well, up until the last few days. But emotions are a good thing. And it's okay to be emotional. But you don't want your emotions to control you. And you don't want a church that plays on your emotions. You don't want a preacher that plays on your emotions. And this lady had gone to this church, an emotionally charged church, and there was something that took place there that was clearly 100% against the Word of God. It was clearly unscriptural. But in that moment, she got goosebumps. And then she came to me and she said, "Well, now, you say that that's not supposed to happen in church. Why do you say that?" I took her to the Word of God. And I showed her what the Word of God said. You know what she said to me? She said, "All I know is what I felt that night. It had to be God." No, it had to be the devil transforming himself as an angel of light. The devil copies God, and the devil will give you a feeling, but when the Word of God says don't, guess what it means? Don't! When it says stop, it means stop. When it says wrong, it means wrong. And you can have experiences that you will allow, if you're not careful, to trump the Bible. It's a dangerous thing. Listen, that works with some of us on a different level. Some of you will do something that's biblically wrong or maybe that the preacher preaches against. And he might even draw it to your attention and you'll say, well, I just don't feel convicted. It really doesn't matter whether you feel convicted or not. Your personal experience doesn't trump the Word of God. Now see, when I was talking about that woman, you agreed with me. Your feelings will deceive you. Well, I just don't see anything wrong with it. How much do you esteem the Word of God over tradition, over denomination, over personal experience, over worldly philosophy? The Bible says in Colossians 2:8 that we can be spoiled or we can be slaves to the rudiments of this world. All the trouble I've got into for preaching against typical dating. Girls and boys going out on a Friday night and putting their hands all over each other. Can I tell y'all something? That ain't right. Amen. And the Bible gives me plenty of principles to tell me it ain't right. It's not right. I'm talking about the Bible trumping tradition, trumping the rudiments of this world, the philosophy of this world, like dating and child training. Well, you're going to hurt their self-esteem. Wrong. They're full of themselves. You're not going to ruin their self-esteem. The terrible twos. The midlife crisis. Bunch of bunk. Empty nest. Now that one's real. Miss Jennifer, that one's real, isn't it? Who comes up with all this stuff? Democracy. Where'd that come from? Everybody okay? Yeah. On a serious note, I'll talk about that empty nest in a moment. I fight with the world and others, and I fight with myself. Listen, church, it's so important to those of you that love Cornerstone. I am forever fighting against the world, others, and myself to try to honor biblical principles at my home and at Cornerstone. I want to honor the Word of God. When you hear preaching that rubs you the wrong way, it might be about modesty. It might be about music or movies or holidays or money or the role of men and women. It doesn't matter what the topic is. You need to understand you have a pastor that esteems the Word of God over his own personal preferences. This book means more to me than my comfort, my pleasure, or my favorite preacher. How do you esteem the Word of God? Cornerstone, listen to me, the way we do things around here. All the different ministries that we are involved in and all that we have going on. The way we do church. I don't know if you realize how unusual it is in this day and time in which we live. But the way we do church. Believe me, I am forever, constantly. Today I'll have a 3.5 hour drive to get to church and preach tonight. And I will be thinking about some of the things we could do at Cornerstone. How we could improve and reach more and help more and edify more. But inevitably, please hear me, I discard an awful lot of ideas I come up with because they violate biblical principles. And if I'll honor the biblical principles, then God will honor this place. That's what I need you to help me do. Esteem the Word of God. Honor biblical principles. Listen, the Bible prevails. The Word of God prevails over science. It prevails over religion. It prevails over culture. It prevails over political correctness. It prevails over grandpa. It prevails over family tradition. I love the words of Mary in Luke chapter 1 when the angel said, you're going to have a baby. You know what Mary said? Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary was facing shame and ridicule and disgrace to have a baby out of wedlock. But it was the will of God. And it was going to be a painful experience. And she was going to hear things about her illegitimate son. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word, even if it shames me. Be it unto me according to thy word, even if I'm disgraced, even if it ruins my reputation. Your word is more important than my feelings. Amen. You see, it is not hyperbole, it is not exaggeration for me to say how you esteem the Word of God will determine everything else in your life. How you value this book will determine so many other things. We need to make sure that we get to Peter's point today, and that is that we desire the milk of the Word that we might grow. You ever seen an adult in their 20s or 30s or 40s with a 5-year-old mind? We grieve when we see that. We're sympathetic. It saddens us to see an adult with a 5-year-old mentality. I wonder how God sees some of His children who've been saved 10, 15, 20 years and they're still in spiritual kindergarten. And the question is why? Why haven't they matured? Why haven't they grown up? The answer is obvious. Amos said there was coming a time when there would be a famine, not for the Word of God. I've heard people take that passage in Amos and say, see there, it's going to be hard to get the Bible. No, it's not. It's not hard for you to get the Bible. Amos didn't say there'd be a famine of the Word of God. He said there'd be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. People won't hear it anymore. I'm simply saying to you, the way to grow according to the Bible is the Word of God, not just the written Word of God, but the heard Word of God, the preached Word of God. You know what James says in James chapter 1, be swift to hear. And then 2 verses later, he says, receive, listen to this, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Oh my, he says, be swift to hear it. Now, then he says, receive. Don't just hear it, receive. Now, listen, with meekness. You ever been to a food line where they're feeding homeless people? I'm talking about people that, and especially if they're almost starving, hadn't had anything a long time, freezing to death. And you go down to the rescue mission, and this really hungry fellow shows up that hadn't eaten in 2 or 3 days. What does he do? Walk in with his chin high and his chest stuck out and say, well, I don't believe I want any of that, and I don't believe I want any of that. Yeah, give me a little of that. No. No, he'll take whatever you've got to meet his need. Because he has a serious need. You know how a lot of God's people go to church? Chin high, chest stuck out. I don't believe I'll take that. No, I don't like that. I don't want any of that. Oh, that was pretty good. Like that. And they want to receive preaching like a cafeteria line. Full of pride. Just taking what they want and throwing out the rest. Or eventually they just go to a more contemporary cafeteria. What's the problem? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 13. He said, this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. You know when you have a problem hearing the Word of God, it's not because of your ears, it's because of your heart. Are you listening? That's why you read in those 7 churches over and over and over again in the book of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. 7 times. If you got ears, hear, listen, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The problem in our day is a problem of hearing because we've got a heart problem. According to the Bible. Saints, over the last few days with Amy's wedding, just like when Kelly got married in February of last year, I don't care to tell you, I've been one big mess. I'm not kidding you. I've been in a fog for several days. Pretty much a big baby. It's just the way it's been. Not going to lie about it. It's been very painful. I love my family, and I'm a mother hen at my house. But while I've been walking around in a fog and crying and having a hard time, whether you believe this or not, and I haven't told my wife this, through every bit of that in the last several days, the Word of God has been literally screaming at me. Quit being so selfish. Life doesn't stop and wait. Satan doesn't take breaks. The work of God continues. And this is all about you when it ought to be about others. And while I've been having my own little pity parties, and I'm probably not through, I'll be driving to Gadsden today and it'll all hit me. And I mean, what you know what you hate as a man when all of a sudden you're crying and you couldn't stop it. It's just happening. And you hate that. because you're proud. But the Word of God keeps screaming at me. When's the last time the Word of God screamed at you? I'm going to tell you something. If it wasn't for the Word of God, I don't know what I'd have done over the last few days, because the Word of God has given me instruction so that I wouldn't just be 100% totally selfish. I wanted to make it Amy's day and about Amy as it should be. Are y'all hearing me? When is the last time the Word of God screamed at you? You're about to do something. You're about to watch something. You're about to listen to something. You're about to go with somebody. You're about to go somewhere. You're about to do something, and the Word of God just screams. Does it prevail? You ever thought, I'll stay home and watch the ball game, and the Word of God says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together? Have you ever said, you know what, things are getting tough, I think I'll skip my missions check this week, and the Word of God scream at you? I am amazed how many times in my life that I've had to have the Word of God screaming in my heart and soul and mind and conscience. But I'm sure glad it was there to straighten me out. Are you allowing the Word of God to grow you? Or is your growth stunted because you're rejecting the Word of God? You're selfish and worldly, and you just don't want to grow. You see, as we talked about Friday night, I think Jacob especially alluded to it during the wedding, a lot of things accompany growth, and one of them is change. As growth takes place, change takes place. When you grow, when you grow, the way you dress changes. You know, we said we don't like seeing an adult acting like a 5-year-old. We don't like to see grandma dressing like a 16-year-old either. I don't know of anything uglier than grandma trying to look 20. Let's just camp out right there. Some of you don't like that. What prevails, fashion or the Bible? Amen. I'm talking about what accompanies growth. The way you dress changes. The way you talk changes. As you grow, the things you do for pleasure changes. The way you receive instruction changes. You ever tried to give a little bitty, just a little bitty thing, something to eat that they didn't want? That's pretty difficult. Man, you're about to grab her nose. Open up. And then you start playing games with them. Here comes the airplane. Open up. We'll play psychology. We'll do anything we can. And then you finally try to get their mouth open and you get it closed up. And you stick it in their ear. You walk around the other way. y'all know what I'm talking about? That's you. I'm up here preaching, you're going. Just take it. It's good for you. You need it. You don't just need what you want. When you get what you want all the time, you're a spoiled, rotten brat, a baby. Amen. Green pea preaching. In Ephesians 4, God gave those pastors and teachers, He said that God gave them so that they would not stay as children but would grow up. Church, you know as well as I do, this world does not want Bible preaching. They want a life coach. They want a motivational speaker. I'm not motivational. I'm irritational. I just coined a word. I'm asking you, church. Actually, I'm pleading with you and I'm begging you as we press on. As we press on as a local church, our success is going to be determined by how we esteem, how we value, how we honor the Word of God. Is the Word of God right now, I'd give anything if every single one of you would ask yourself this question, is the Word of God prevailing in my life? Is it prevailing in my home? Is it prevailing in my business? Is it prevailing in my church? Do you desire and hunger and long for direction and correction from the Word of God? I preached a sermon, I don't know when, on the work of the Word of God. According to the Bible, the Word of God converts. It converts in Psalm 19. It's also in 1 Peter 1 where it says that you and I are born again by the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God. So the Word of God converts, but the Word of God also cultivates. You know what this book does? It cultivates character in God's people. It cultivates courage. It cultivates conviction. It cultivates consistency. Ultimately, this book cultivates Christ in you. This book conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. This book works us over, fine-tunes us, whittles on us, takes heavenly sandpaper and changes us that we might be mature and become like Jesus Christ. This book converts, it cultivates, it confirms. If anybody ever hears me preach as though I might have some authority, I want you to know I have zero authority except what I get from the Word of God. I couldn't preach strong on tongues or strong on the rapture or the resurrections. I couldn't preach strong on different subjects like baptism and controversial things about eternal security unless I had a book that confirmed what I preach. My grandpa's opinion does not make me feel better. This book makes me feel good about where I stand on some of those subjects. This book converts, it cultivates, it confirms, it cuts. Does the book ever cut you? I'm one of my favorite preachers. I was going to a meeting years ago over in Rossville, Georgia. I pulled in the parking lot. There was a time change. I don't know if I got there late or if I was getting there for a certain preacher, but they had like three or four preachers lined up. And when I pulled in the parking lot, he was getting in his car to leave. And he was driving probably 2 or 3 hours. I had driven 2 or 3 hours. And he was all red in the face. And I jumped out real quick. Good preacher friend of mine. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm leaving. I'm going home. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, I just heard a sermon. I got to go home and get some things fixed. I like that. His getting some things fixed and allowing the Word of God to prevail at his home was better than him sitting at that church getting more preaching. It was time to do something with it. He'd been cut open. The Word of God will cut you. The Word of God converts, cultivates, confirms, and cuts and cleans. I love hearing those kids quote that verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to his word, thy word. And by the way, the Word of God condemns. It'll just sort of scream at you like I've been talking about. Or it commends. Every now and then the Word of God will say, you're right. Don't worry about what they say. You're right. It's okay. Stay by the stuff. You're right. So the Word of God converts, cultivates, confirms, cuts, cleans, condemns, commends, and completes. If you want to see the complete armor of God in Ephesians 6, you've got to have the Word of God. Church, I believe we're going to go against the flow, against the grain of things, against society, against political correctness and so on until the Lord comes back. Where we stand on that book is crucial. How do you personally esteem the Word of God? Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.